It's a two-man show. Let's go. Hey. Hello. Welcome. Welcome. Hello. This is Total Spot Fest Wrestling. I am JJ. That is Jamie. We are sans Austin Riddick this week. So you've got the dynamic duo back at you. We are going to get into, we got a whole lot of AEW to get to. We're going to talk a little bit of some stuff going on in WWE land, but overwhelmingly large amount of AEW goodness to talk about, Jamie. Would you say that's a fair statement? Jamie?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, sorry. So you froze for like a second there. Sorry, man.
Yeah, I told you, man. Like, my computer's been a little janky.
All right. For those of you watching this live on the replay, man. Little technical glitches we're hopping through. No worries.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. This weekend was some of the best wrestling I have ever seen.
Ooh, keyword, ever.
Yeah. Without hesitation, I'll say ever. Without hesitation, ever.
Well,
ever.
Forever.
Simon Jackson, ooh, I am for real.
I could pull them all out. All right, we'll get right to it. No spoilers, Heather.
It was the Jericho match. He knew it. Heather knows me so well.
Yeah, oh, she's 100%. You know, she's just feeding the troll now. Just feeding it. All right. So, for those of you, if it's your first time here, hello, welcome. We are glad you joined us. Please consider. Hit that subscribe button down below. It is free. It does help us out quite a bit. There's a little bell icon to get me notified when we do go live. Do give it a big thumbs up if you are watching us live or on the replay. And for those of you listening to us, you can catch us every Wednesday. Get approximately 9:30-ish. Summertime's a little bit odd for us because Jamie's got softball coming out of every orifice in his body. So for him to,
so it's probably going to be closer to 10 nowadays,
yeah,
guys.
So I just want to give you guys a quick heads up that, you know, it is, you know, so give it.
I'm driving and watching this just so everybody knows my dedication to the show.
Make yourself some popcorn. Make yourself a nice, you know, get yourself a nice little beverage, you know. So it might be a few minutes late for the next, you know, for few weeks-ish, you know. But don't worry. Give or take 9:30, 10-ish Central Standard Time August. Every Wednesday.
We'll just say August. Few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. While them days are long. Well, you got one that is getting off the radar pretty soon here. I did see we got a graduation party coming up for one Miss Tyrant. So that'll be good fun.
Yes. My second oldest is officially graduating high school. So that's one less thing I have to worry about there. And then now I have to start paying for college.
So that's no fun, but at least a schedule responsibility, you're halfway there.
Just like Bon Jovi.
All right. Well, we want to talk about these matches. So let's start with what everybody wants to know. That belt hanging over Jamie's head. Virtually, because our previous champion refused to send the belt to Jamie. In protest of his sickness affecting his picks on the last pay-per-view. But Jamie is our current champion. I will concede. He won. Yeah. Hey. I can only deal with the dad in front of me, and what I see is what I see, and that's what he put in there. Whether he was sick or not, can't deal with anything with it. I'm sorry. I love you, Austin, but that's the truth. So, does Jamie keep the belt, or are we moving around? Spoiler alert, we didn't vary from picks almost at all. It was – so I ended up being the last one that put the picks in just because I sleep in, whatever. By the second in there, see Austin's picks, see Megan's picks, see Jamie's picks, and I see the picks that I just put in there on the results, and Jamie, Austin, and myself are identical across the board, the exact same card.
Committed to the bit, ladies and gentlemen, committed to the bit.
Megan differed on one single match, and we all agreed that was the match we were all kind of like teetering on, you know, we all went one way, but she went the other way. So either Megan's going to demolish us outright by one match, or we're going to do a three-way tie. So that one match determines everything. And we're just going to talk about, because the pay-per-view is so good, we're going to talk about it in its gloriousness, and we're going to get this out of the way. That match was House of Black versus Canadian Maple Bacon Double Fried Chicken. I don't remember what he called them, but Copeland, Kingston, and Briscoe.
Yeah.
The trios match. We all picked Copeland's team. Megan picked the House of Black.
Megan House won. Black wins.
House of Black won.
And then as soon as that match was over, of course I said the guys, the for life, because the FWO, even though I lost, still holds the belt. Hollywood Hulk Hogan doesn't have it. It's Big Sexy Kevin Nash. He's got it. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is still within our possession. But I will have to give a lot of credit to Megan here. So, Megan, after I made my picks, she goes, I disagree with that one. Because I think that they are going to set up Adam Copeland and Malachi Black are teetering with it. And the best way to do it is have the pin from Malachi because it sets it up better.
I 100% agree. I mean, that Copeland's one of those, he can lose. He can get pinned, especially in triple threats, and doesn't hurt him one bit, right?
At all.
You make a story, have him go out there and eat the pin from a very quality competitor.
Yeah.
She's dead right.
And
she's
what
dead
did he
right
do?
On that.
He ate the pin. Like, she foretold everything. Like single tier. Single tier. Because essentially she got a perfect card. Mm. And I'm going to say that she had a perfect card because that one match does not count as
okay.
Complete and utter bullshit that freaking Chris Jericho won. They really put over Chris Jericho. Like, really put over Chris Jericho.
I have thoughts on that, but I'm going to reserve them until we get to Dynamite. So,
The learning tree? Oh, my
I'm
God.
I'm
going
to reserve that until we get to Dynamite. I have thoughts on it. Okay. So, congratulations, Megan the Tyrant. I hope you find yourself way too busy in about 6 months with college to be involved in this anymore with us. But I will remove the belt from Jamie. And once again, our champion.
Yeah. Chris definitely went into business for himself.
Oh, yeah, 100% did. And I mean, was not the worst match I ever saw. It definitely was, like, as far as this whole pay-per-view, it was definitely the kind of that go get your food moment, right? You know?
It was the dud of the night.
It was, I think.
And it still wasn't terrible. Like, to
your point. Hook was trying things, you know? I mean, Hook is more than likely bound for Florida and NXT in the next few months. He said he's wanting to look at options. They would like to have him over there. I would like for him to go over there because I think it would do him good, to be honest with you. You know? This character will do what?
Maybe you can put on a little mask, get a little bigger.
Well, I don't care about physically. I'm just talking about character work. Like, this, his character at AEW is at the ceiling of. Where else can the Hook character go? Having Tony Schiavone yell out, it's Hook, like it's the bat signal, that's not doing it for anybody. Is it, Heather? Is it doing it for you? I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. I'm so over him. I'm over all this. Like, I have so much disdain for how this whole story went out, and because Chris Jericho is the guy, mm-hmm. as a former Jerichoholic now.
Oh, you're putting it behind you.
Yes. He's boring without Danhausen. He's a boring period.
He's boring,
yeah.
Without any, yeah. So I think have Shawn Michaels work with him over in NXT. That's how you make
him. I might help him.
Potentially, you know, if he's got the chops, he's got the DNA for it. Yes, he's an athlete. He's got a good look. The ladies love him, right? You got to put some substance behind it. And he can't do it anymore.
Now, so should we start calling him LL Cool H? Maybe sure. Love Cool Hook?
Sure.
Like that?
However you want to do that.
Yeah, like
0 hour, very predictable. Cool Bull Club Gold. So Bull Club Gold unified the trios, which I thought was, you know, perfect. We all got that. Trent Beretta, He won. It led right into the Orange Shibata, obligatory Orange Shibata, Orange Cassidy match. Him and Shibata, they won. So you did have, so you had a unification of titles, and Shocker. Then you had two title changes and one vacant title received. So Roderick Strong, let's start with him, because he retained his title against Kyle O'Reilly.
Good match.
About what we thought it would be, you know?
Actually, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of expecting a little bit more.
Okay.
Not gonna lie.
I don't know. Especially with, you know, kind of the time that Kyle's taken off, where he's at, where the story is, it was about what I expected. I think with everything else on the card, I didn't expect this to be like the watershed banger like everything else was, right? I expected it to be a very solid match.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting banger, but it just left me wanting a little bit just for the simple fact that I know what both of those men are capable of. And yes, Kyle does get a bit of a pass, but again, I was expecting just a little bit more. Okay. Not a whole lot, just a little bit.
How about the way they opened the show, though? Were you expecting that to go as hard as it did?
No, not at all.
I mean, I knew it was going to be good, but I mean, that was like 35 minutes long of just ridiculousness between Okada and Pac. Maybe 30, maybe not 35, but it was.
I'll put it this way. When I watched this match, I was like, man, it's going to be really hard to beat this match tonight. It was that good. It was really good. And then I get a bruv, hold my beer.
Yeah. And any other show in the world, this is like the match you talk about for a month, right?
It was so good. It was so good.
I mean.
And then Ospreay Danielson just decided to completely demolish the entire city of freaking St. Louis. They tore it all down.
I mean, that was billed as the dream match, called as the dream match, naturally was the dream match. Welcome
Ryback,
to the
only wish, buddy.
Change the name to Ryback. I appreciate that's committed to the bit right there. I love that.
I like the commitment right there.
So
no one's gonna feed you anymore, buddy. I'm sorry.
So we were talking very briefly before we went live here. Match of the year, right now, front runner, 100%, right?
Without question. Without question.
You made a statement, though, that I don't disagree with, but I want the people to hear what you were telling me very briefly before I hit the live button.
Well, this might be the greatest match I've ever seen?
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that statement. It would take some soul searching, but I mean, I think it's very warranted it'd be in that discussion.
So I'll put it this way, okay, before I get completely eaten alive. There are some matches that do a much better job of the story that got you to this monumental match.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And those matches were more moments than actual matches, if that makes any kind of sense. Like, it was a moment. Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, that was a moment. It wasn't a match, it was a moment. But then, like, you had Ospreay versus Okada earlier this year at Revolution, and we're like, man, it's going to take a miracle to beat this thing. And then here comes Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay again.
Hold my soy milk latte, you know?
Yeah. And this was not a moment match or anything like that. This was legit professional wrestling at its absolute best. And I want to say that again, professional wrestling at its absolute best. No story needed, no nothing. Literally, two guys, the best that probably ever was, and then there's the best that there is right now going head to head. And it was everything I thought it was going to be, and then some. And I had high expectations for this match, and I'm hopefully everybody else did.
Yeah.
Because we all know what Will Ospreay can do, and we all know what Brian Danielson can do. And Jesus Christ, did it just go, okay. Hey, hey, how do your eyeballs feel coming out of your eye, out of your eye sockets right now? Because we're just gonna absolutely crush you. It's like, this match was beyond crazy. Beyond crazy good. I could just pontificate about it for hours on end because
even you take a wrestling book and so you take the entire wrestling encyclopedia. For those of you too young, encyclopedias used to be things that your parents spent hundreds of dollars on. It was it's like the internet book
derived from.
Yeah, it's like the internet in book form, more or less, right? You use it for your, you know, school papers and bullshit, you know, Britannica, right? You take the wrestling encyclopedia and open it up. It had everything, right? Pace, you know, just, you know, kind of the sways that it went with it. You had flippy spinny stuff. You had technical, you had submission, reversal cities. You had this, you had, I mean, just without a lot of, and I, everybody knows JJ's a sucker for gimmicky stuff, right? You give me tax and I get a chubby. Okay. It happens, right? Didn't need to have that. And I'm glad they didn't delve into that because they just are like, no, we are going to give you, when someone says, what's professional wrestling? You can go, here you go. Because that's it. It was a definition match. And even though the ending, they did the whole injury angle, which apparently the injury for Danielson is like a planned thing, right? You know, they kind of, you know, so he might have actually got a little bit injured, but the whole, like, he's out for an injury is meant to, you know, he's taking a little bit of time away, right? But even with that, I don't feel like it dampened anything. They're turning into a storyline, which is even better. And it didn't take a damn bit away from how glorious this match was. I mean, said it was going to take hell or high water for something to supplant Omega Ospreay at the beginning of the year, right?
Okada. Or no, not Takeshita. Takeshita.
Yeah.
Baby Okada.
Hell or high water.
Baby Okada.
And water's up above my head right now because I don't know if I would call this the greatest match of all time because you have to look at a lot of stuff, but I think this is in the discussion and at minimum it's a top 10 of all time if you're going to start splitting hairs left and right. Cool. Let's have that discussion another time, but wow, what a match.
The ending for me, I know some people don't like, I liked how they're in the corner, like one going for the psycho knee, one going for Hidden Blade, and like who got there first. I love that moment, the tension, and like, and when he hit, the crowd absolutely erupted. And and Big Rob, huge, big time jealous of you for actually being there and in person. You know, there was a glimmer that Megan and I thought, hey, we could make it. But like I was at the softball field since like 6:45 that morning, so I've been absolutely dead. But
and shout out to Rob and everyone else that was there because I mean we've been to St. Louis. I know you have some, you know, it's some superficial like beef, you know, the Kansas City St. Louis beef thing, whatever, right? But we always said St. Louis is a great wrestling town, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And my God. I think they displayed that Midwest wrestling. I mean, because that crowd jam-packed the arena, which is great to see, especially if all the chirping and tribalism bullshit that's been going on. And my God, that crowd was one of the best crowds I've seen at an AEW pay-per-view, probably since the 21 All Out that we were at, right?
Yeah, that crowd was hot.
That crowd was
not so hot. Not that, because that we were fun. There, but that crowd was...
It's a little tilted when you're in the crowd as well. I mean, literally, like when the Lucha Brothers won, we weren't down low. We were like middle of the lower bowl, right? Literally, we started hugging random people. Everyone was going ape shit, right? And this crowd here was just as hot, if not better. And so, All right, so, women's wise, Tony won like we thought she would.
Did you catch that press conference?
I watched the whole presser, and the prepared statement was gold. I mean, I wish that because the thing is, like, you could obviously tell that they're biding time waiting for probably Jamie Hayter come back, right? To be like, because you don't really have, you have nobody that's like a real on the level with Tony, you know, because her character is so goddamn strong. But oh my God.
Yeah. So if you guys haven't seen the press conference, you should go ahead and give yourself, you know, a few minutes and just see what she had to say about Nikki Bella. I won't get into full things because, you know, I do enjoy our show, but it had something to do with the scented candle. So just go ahead and do yourself a favor and watch it. But Tony,
it's on AEW's YouTube channel.
Is a treasure.
Now they did the whole, like, Deonna comes out and that starts kind of the thing, which they honestly probably should have done before, which is they're setting up Tony or Deonna and Thunder Rosa to feud together, which, I'm not gonna lie, it's good for both of them. It should have been done before this happened, but whatever. No surprises really there with that. We all picked as well Willow to win. It was a very short match. Julia is getting her shoulder taken care of. Her shoulder got screwed up. I don't think it requires surgery. I haven't heard anybody mention that. The S word. But
the S word.
Ooh, the S word. But it was a short match because of it. But still, how cool is it to see Willow as a champion on a major promotion?
I mean, it's not going to be very long, but yeah, I'm really excited about it.
So,
because there's no way in hell they have Mercedes Moné losing her first match in AEW.
Especially with her, and then she's going to go 0-2 against Willow for her career. I mean, that sets up a good storyline if you got her, like, actively wrestling. But her in-ring debut is going to be at Double or Nothing, which we'll talk about what they did earlier in the night. Two final matches you had. So you had Will Ospreay and Danielson. Then you had the Bucks FTR, which
– how about them going on after that?
I mean, the Bucks always seem to do that, though. They're like, all right, we'll go on. We'll be the filler match, right, you know? Because
match was really good too.
Really good, but like you could tell the crowd was a little bit spent and they're saving energy. So there was a little bit of a. But with that being said, this match got crazy. This was Ladder Match City. I mean, it's Bucks FTR. What do you expect, right? It's going to be gold. And it was. It was great.
But the ending was the best.
Yeah, give them the ending. Because, the ending is what got me the. Oh, okay. So. I can't remember. I think it was Austin's the first one that brought this up several weeks back.
Because I was pontificating that, you know, like Kenny would come back and cost him, and then he threw out the Jack Perry thing, and I'm like,
my original thing was the machine guns would be there, but they still have, they're going to be in AEW, but they still have contractual ties for the next like couple weeks with pre-taped TNA stuff. So you said Kenny, and Kenny's. Not bad.
Coming back next week. Maybe. He's at least going to make
an announcement. There. He's not going to wrestle. He's going to be there.
No. I'll be there.
But it was Austin who pontificated correctly. No, Jack Perry. So, and I saw some like video that people took in the crowds. He was like, around for like most of the show in the crowds as the guy, the hoodie with the mask on, right?
Yeah.
So I took a picture of him like two matches early, walking around with popcorn, looking for his seat or whatever. And so at the end of this match, Dax is going up. They've murdered each other, right? Dax is a crimson mask, you know. And here comes a fan jumping over, pushing over the ladder. And of course, we're all instantly like, oh, we know who that is. But they remove the security comes. And I love the way they did this with the security. Security comes in, subdues him like they get a streaker at a baseball game, right? Hood back, take the mask off, and they're like, what the hell? And it's Jack Perry, and the crowd erupts. Were you surprised with the reaction from the crowd?
Not at all. So one thing, so I'm gonna point out two things. One, they're in St. Louis.
He was not Rob. Heidi was there. He was not.
Yeah, he was not. He was with the dogs. Not us, like his dogs. But so they were in St. Louis. And, you know, there is a particular city St. Louis hates more than Kansas City.
They don't even care about Kansas City. They hate one city, Chicago.
Yeah, they really hate Chicago because, like, Chicago, like, they are in the shadow of Chicago. Let's just be real.
Yeah, Chicago wants to be New York. St. Louis wants to be Chicago.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's what it is.
So they hate Chicago, and Chicago's favorite son is CM Punk. So of course they're gonna cheer him. But I agree, Heather. Like, I wasn't a big fan of the video. I understand why they did it. You know, I think it was more about bringing JP back. And his little ass smirk was like the best thing too. And then when the crowd erupted with it too, I'm like, yep, this guy is it right now. Cause he's cashing in like what the Bucks and them should have been doing the whole time.
We've said this for months. Something like this happens, you make money off of it. That's professional wrestling. That's what Triple H, Stone Cold, The Rock, that's what they did back in the day, right? You know?
Even when they had beef or Shawn was coked out of his mind, they figured out.
I mean, hell, Edge straight up took Lita from Matt Hardy in the locker room, and they turned it into a plot line to sell tickets. But
that's great.
I mean, you know, I think that you could justify a little bit more because you're using that as a way to prop up Jack Perry. Yes, part of his ego, Tony versus CM Punk. They're going to throw jabs at each other. And because Tony's not a fighter, put a pin in that. his don't land very well. But the fact they're using it to prop up Jack, I thought was great. And we'll talk a lot more Jack Perry here in a little bit.
Yeah, put a pin in him.
So we all picked Swerve. I felt it was pretty obvious. He was the heavy betting favorite. I actually looked this up just for you, Jamie. He was the heavy betting favorite to win. He threw out the first pitch at the Cardinals game day before with a Cardinals-themed AEW championship belt. the most telling thing I've seen in my life, right? Yeah. But my God, Joe, can we give just – we have done this for the past several months, but can we just give a quick little like golf clap to Joe? Because my God. That's how you do it, folks. That's how you put somebody over. Oh,
it's Swerve's time. And then, like, I was talking with Megan. I'm like, it sucks that, you know, Swerve's going to lose the belt at All In. And she's like, no, they wouldn't do that. He needs a long title reign. He deserves a long title reign, which he does. But it's like, dude, Ospreay. After that match, like, people want Ospreay with the belt. But then now I've heard rumors. I don't know if you guys saw this from Fightful. The idea is for either Kenny to go against Okada at All In for the belt. Unless he can't go, then they're gonna switch it to Ospreay.
Hmm. Okay.
So just FYI, that's the plan right now, even though I really think Ospreay versus Swerve at All In. That is a marquee matchup, like from God himself.
So they said on Dynamite tonight that they're going to announce who his opponent's going to be for Double or Nothing next week, which feels a little bit a la Tony Storm / Jade Cargill / you know, why don't we have an actual, why isn't there any story in place, you know, to work an angle here, right? Because that does make me worry about the long-term kind of popularity of Swerve as the top guy. But I don't want them to spoil that. And again, it's not a bad thing, any of those names you threw out there. I mean, any of those is fantastic, right?
Yeah. But
I'm with you. I want to see Swerve remain in this picture. He is the rare instance, and AEW is the one place that'll do this. Now, they'll do it a little bit more in WWE somewhat. But AEW is the place where they will listen to the fans. And he naturally got to where he is because of the fans, right? It's supposed to be top heel in the company. Man that goes into Buddy Wayne's house and beats up his son, you know? and comes out wearing a bloody tank top from, you know, to being the top face in the company in a matter of what, 5 months?
Yeah, thereabouts.
So, but kudos to Swerve.
I do want to give Swerve just a few more flowers before we move on. Mm-hmm. He is one of those guys that's on the list of, man, if he got a push, this guy would be amazing.
Oh,
from
yeah.
the NXT WWE days, and he gets released. He is legit the only WWE guy that they have gotten that was on the low level that has worked yeah. his ass off to become the top guy. Because everybody else has been mainly homegrown from them. Like, legit. Right. Like, you know, Kenny, of course, Hanger. You know, you had MJF homegrown. I mean, you had
Mox
all these
the
guys.
Exception.
Yeah, Mox and then Jericho. You know, but then you had Jericho back then. Like, that's when Jericho was fine. But now, like, he grew. Like, he started out with, mm-hmm. you know, him and Keith Lee. And, you know, worked his way up the ranks, you know, so to speak. And this meteoric rise, it's all on him, man. And he deserves every last flower that he can possibly get. He is yep. one of the best wrestlers in the business and couldn't be happier for the guy.
Well, we will see. We will see what they go with this here. You know, how lengthy it ends up being with him. And my worry is, like, the only worry I really have is it's not uncommon in AEW. It's the Hangman hangover, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I'm gonna start calling it that now. Once you get there, what do you do? And if you don't have something to do, it gets stale. And I just hope that there's not that. Now, he's creative enough. He should be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So freaking good. So good. And that
was
that pay-per-view.
Was it 2 years ago, Rob, when we saw him at Revolver?
Yeah. Him and God. Athena.
What him is and time? Athena. I don't even know.
That was like 25 pounds ago for him, too. And that was like 45 pounds ago for me.
You got your second daughter graduating high school, for God's sake. I mean, you're talking about time.
I know.
All right. So yeah. Let's go into Dynamite. Let's just roll right into it. Because this was the post pay-per-view show at Jacksonville, which I loved. There's an obvious reason why I was at Jacksonville, because tomorrow is the NFL draft. And I don't know if you guys knew this, Tony Khan has another job too. He's he's the vice president of analytics for the Jaguars. So it had to be at Jacksonville, but it kind of worked out nice because you have one of the best pay-per-views they put together. I'm putting it out there. Rob said it. I'm agree with it. Even though, yes, it was predictable a little bit, some of the matches, most of the matches.
So was WrestleMania, and WrestleMania was a fun thing to watch.
It was still one of the best pay-per-views there was. So.
But hold on. Before we get there, I do want to call this out. And Megan okay. said it again. Like, one of these days, I'm probably just going to get Megan on the show. But she said something that resonated with me and really got me thinking. Like, okay. you know.
Okay.
AEW, if they could figure out their freaking Wednesdays and Saturdays to match the level of intensity that they bring in pay-per-views, they would have they would be the best show on TV. And because
I disagree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, because as we know, as AEW fans, they are very wishy-washy on their Dynamite. Sometimes you get an amazing Dynamite. Sometimes you get like a super mid Dynamite. Tonight was not a mid Dynamite.
No.
Far from. But like, that's not par for the course for them. If they could figure out a better creative situation, and I agree with her, I think that, you know, with what talent they have and everything, I think they are close. They're a lot closer than the ratings say, because as soon as they get that storytelling piece that WWE has a stranglehold on right now, like 3 hours of WWE equals 45 minutes of wrestling, but you do get Drew McIntyre telling Sheamus that he used to put on banger after banger after banger before he got hurt. And now, since he's been back, he's been just burger after burger after burger. Like, come on, dude.
I mean, Drew is just killing it right now. You know, I know that Tony Khan, in an interview, had said, this is like pre-Dynasty, that he more than likely in the near future, or in the somewhat near future, whether that's a year or a month, whatever, right, he's going to step away from being, you know, creative. I think we all agree, probably a good thing. There's been definitely some times where he's done stuff that's because Tony wants to, and Tony wears too many hats, and Tony writes all the checks, so it happens.
Yeah, Tony gets what Tony wants.
It's his company. The man is a billionaire from a billionaire family. Okay, that understandable. You write all
that
the checks.
Checked out.
I think the other problem that I believe is, I don't think there's anything wrong with wrestling on TBS or TNT. 100%. Do not. I think there is a cap on how big that will be. We have been ingrained now for almost 30 years. Monday night, I go to cable and I watch wrestling, right? That's out there. That's been well long established, right? I think that's just, it's tougher to kind of get that. Maybe it's the night of the week. You don't want to start a Monday Night War because that's a losing, you know, but
losing battle.
I think that, and the question was brought up to them about potential futures. And he says that 2025, of course, is when it's going to happen. That they're very happy where they are. Executives are very happy with the product. And currently, that they are in the contract they are in. But they are in negotiations with a bunch of things, and the things will be figured out. Because somebody asked him directly on the presser if they were planning on doing Dynamite, Collision, live stream. Presumably on like Max, right? Because yeah. I feel if you go to that, that's where you can get a much broader reach. I think WWE is going to have a ton of success when they move to Netflix.
Okay? I disagree.
I don't know. So it's a tough thing for me to say that. I don't know if there is the audience to be had to get 3-4 million views every Wednesday night.
Well, I believe replays should be on a streaming service. But remember when NXT was on the WWE network?
Yeah, touche.
Remember what kind of numbers it did?
400 or 500.
It was the WWE back then. Like, if that.
Yeah.
So I am one, I feel like Netflix, I mean, because it is Netflix, they'll probably be fine. They'll have a big reach there, but I really believe you stay on cable, you know, and then you have the pay-per-views, anything like that on Max, you know, do it like that. I think that makes a lot of sense, and have their entire library along with the Ring of Honor library. You'd be able to go back and watch old Kevin Steen matches. Hell to the yes. You know what I'm saying?
So kind of what WWE is doing now with the Peacock is like the model that you like to have. Live on TV, pay-per-views, library, on a streaming service.
Yeah. And here's the thing too, man. Netflix costs like $25 now.
I know. Or boy, is it hard to share. It can be done. It's hard to
share. It can. For an extra $10, it was $35 to share it.
Well, I think you get one family member you can add to it, because I'm on my sister's. So
it's ridiculous.
It's hard.
Yeah, but like Heather hit the nail on the head, no casual view. And that's what WWE banks on, is a casual view.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm grain of salt here, or at least it's a grain of salt. Like, you know, I'm just trying to be very realistic about what Netflix means. I think they could go very Attitude Era and they could really get me back into the fold, because I mean, like, if I'm paying for it, it's just like Sirius XM, man. Like, if I get it, like, I want to hear an F-bomb or two, You know, I want, you know, I want something like that. Not necessarily nudity or anything crazy like that. You know, I mean, I got enough of Sky Bluey, so like we're fine. But you know, like I just, you know, I'm okay if like they get a little raw with it, with their talking. You know, that'd be cool. But again, I'd rather be on okay. cable TV where I could just flip to it. It's like, oh yeah. And then like the casual fans flip through the channels, like, you know, hey, what's on? It's the news or Gladiators. We want to watch Gladiators. You know what I mean? Like,
touche.
That's, well, a Tommy Boy reference for you.
Let's, let's use, you're even giving out your references now, man. Come on, what's,
I know. I'm trying, man. I'm trying to get people on my pop culture train.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, we'll use Tonight as an example. Tonight would be a good example of what they should be doing, right?
Tonight is the example. I think the presentation of everything that they did tonight was on point. I felt like what they did specifically with the Elite was exactly what they need right now. They need that top heel. And damn it, they got it. Like, that's all there is to it. The only problem is people still love Jack Perry for Way to CM Punk, but it's fine because what they did tonight 100% cements them as the top heels in the company, and you can build with this. This is a building block situation, and it made my heart very happy. And hell, Trent Beretta right now is doing the Lord's work in heelness.
All right, let's start with Trent then. Let's save the Elite and the Heat and the Jack Perry stuff for the end. Okay. Sorry guys, that's how it goes. I didn't see a depth of character work in Trent Beretta. I'm happy that it's there though.
Yeah. So I want to get your thoughts on Trent, like what they're doing with Trent. Because Trent, obviously, at the very beginning, you know, Orange Cassidy's used the kits. He throws out Orange, you know, and then he calls out Chucky T. Chucky T, obviously, is not on Trent's side, which I found to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. But I am really enjoying the fact that they are letting Trent fly.
I think that that's one of those things. Like, they always make reference to Trent from Japan, right? Mm-hmm. If you go back and actually do your own research and look it up, you're like, why is this guy a just another guy, right? Why is he a lackey? Because I mean, he said that he was brought, that we brought this guy, we brought Orange Cassidy in here to be our kind of like our mascot, and we ended up becoming his lackeys. He's not wrong on any of that, honestly. But you go back, you look at Trent, you look at him in Roppongi Vice, you look at him and kind of his stuff that he did in ROH and in Japan, and you're like, yeah, he's got a good point. This guy should be a lot higher on the food chain, you know? So I like that. I like that edge. And I like the fact that it's a very easy story to begin. You've been clamoring for how long? And they did some of this, but give Orange Cassidy an actual like story, right? They did give him a few, but this is the natural one that has been sitting in front of your face the whole time. You're like, of course, right?
Yeah.
Best finally. Friends turn on each other. That's the best story you can have. So I love it all. I think it's great for Trent above all. Orange doesn't need anything. Orange is Orange. He's super over. Always going to be, right?
Yeah.
But it's fantastic for Trent. And yes, that means that in a company full of heels, you got another top heel. But whatever. They're cemented outside of title pictures. It's another running story. Perfect. I love it.
Yeah, same. I got nothing else. You hit the nail right on the head. So let's go ahead and just keep on the train, if you will. So, you know, they did have a quick little conversation backstage with Moxley, you know, hyping up the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Did you also see what he happened to say about the Shield music hitting and everybody thought it was going to be him at WrestleMania?
No, I missed that.
Oh, it was hilarious. So he goes, I'm flattered, but I was in Japan and I was asleep when that happened. In the most John Moxley way possible.
So, oh my God. It's like there's wrestling, there's attitude, and then there's just John Moxley. He's just in his own bubble. It's great.
Yeah. He did a good job of hyping up his match, saying, you know, like essentially that it's going to be hell, but there's no place he'd rather be. And, you know, and he's reminding the world who he is, you know. It's like, I think you don't need to do that. I think everybody knows who you are, John Moxley, but you know what? He hyped her up pretty good.
It's probably some interview. I'm sure you could look it up on, wrestlingnews.co or Fightful, yeah. Rob. But you had Swerve. Okay, so your first presentation of Swerve as AEW champion was not a promo. It was an actual match against Kyle Fletcher.
Yes, an eliminator match. Why not? Now,
the match wasn't for Swerve. Swerve was going to win. We knew that, right?
Yeah.
And the match was great. It was cool because Kyle Fletcher's great. But the match is really about a reoccurring threat. And again, this is one of the things that AEW had problems doing in the past, and now they aren't, is they're putting this threat out there with the Don Callis family. And this was the first kind of like pass with that needle.
Yeah. Out of a couple of them from tonight. So Kyle obviously loses, but you know, the big thing was after, you know,
During the match, Don Callis was telling him, he's calling a play from commentary. Number four, Melbourne. And that was supposed to be like, go get the table and put him through the table or whatever, which doesn't make sense because this is not, you lose the match. Whatever, right? That was Don Callis' move, and Kyle called an audible. And the whole time, Don was talking shit on him on commentary, which Don Callis on commentary, Jamie and I both know.
Gold, ladies and gentlemen. Gold.
Please.
There's only one person that I would much rather listen to on the AEW roster at commentary, and that's one Tony Storm.
How about a commentary team of Tony Storm, Don Callis, and John Moxley? I don't think the internet could handle it.
I think I'm here for it. I know I'm here for it.
They need to do that if they ever do like one of those like the Southpaw wrestling promotion or like one of those like, you know, like offshoot things. Have those three as, oh my God, that'd be great. Okay, we'll come back to this, but that was the first thread being sworn. So he loses, and of course Don is, you know, barking mad at Kyle on commentary while he's losing.
Yeah. So after that, they did make the announcement about Kenny Omega. So Kenny Omega will be in Winnipeg, even though he's now in North Carolina. So he's going to be back in his hometown, Winnipeg. It wasn't made clear if it's a one-off or anything like that, but I think it's one to get eyes on the product, and two, it's Kenny freaking Omega.
Yeah, it's Kenny in Winnipeg. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So, okay. So after that, what did you think about the Thunder Rosa interview?
I kind of hinted this earlier. I didn't mind it because this is something that needed to happen. It gives both of them something to do, and it makes sense from a story point wise, right? Woman who tapped out the world champion but didn't win the title, and the woman who never lost the title. Yes, those two should beef with each other before fighting Tony is the problem with it, right?
Before they both fought Tony and lost.
Yeah, because if you have this feud before Thunder Rosa goes to fight Tony Storm, then it makes a little bit more sense. I still don't mind it, though, because it gives them both a good story to be in, because they can put together some good matches together, I feel. And that's the one thing that women's division needs. The one thing I will say about tonight, there was actually quite a few. You only had one women's match, but you had quite a few kind of, you know, more than one story being told on TV tonight in the women's division. This was one of them, and I dug it. What did you think about it? Are you pro, con? What do you think? Deonna and Thunder.
Pro, before they fought the Law, and the Law won. You know, but I think it's going to be good no matter what, because both of them are phenomenal in the ring. So Like, I'm not going to complain. Like, that's just ridiculous to complain. I definitely think that this will be excellent. I think it's going to be good for them. It keeps them hovering around the title picture, but not in the title picture.
This is one of the rare instances where I would want them to 50-50 book this for a little bit.
Same. Like, hardcore same.
Yeah. I mean, they're scheduled to face each other this Saturday on Rampage. Cool. Bring it back like four more times. Have them like go on an all-out war against each other. Give them something to do.
Yeah. So after this, though, you did get Mina Shirakawa versus Anna Jay.
You got Mina Shirakawa on your TV for free.
I sure did. I love Mina Shirakawa.
I can't believe she's only been wrestling for 5 years. I thought it'd been longer.
Yeah, and she's, I mean, here's the thing. Those Stardom girls, they are no joke.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of Stardom in this match.
From the
entrance to the kind of just the way, it felt like a Stardom match in a lot of, which is a great thing to say, but in a lot of respects.
Yeah. I mean, the reverse of Anna Jay's Queenslayer into the Glamorous Collection in order to get the dub. You know, and then, of course, afterwards, you know, you had good old-fashioned love fest from Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa drinking their drinks and doing their dances and stuff. Yeah. And only to get interrupted by Anna Jay, but it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, Johnny, that is a deep cut. I like it, though. We're going to get to that in just a second. So Tony comes out, does the save against Anna Jay, of all people, whatever. But then you get Serena Deeb come out, cut a promo at the camera on the ramp there next to the belt. Which I don't mind this. I don't mind their propping Serena Deeb as the next kind of challenger to Toni Storm. I feel like the execution was a little off just because it was a little hard to kind of hear her promo, you know? So it's like, It could have been delivered a little better, but Serena Deeb is the next one in line for Toni Storm. She's not going to win, naturally. But do you like that?
I mean, anytime I get the female Dean Malenko on my TV, I am quite thrilled. A technical savant, I am all about it. Yeah. Now, do I think it's going to be a good match? Yes. Do I think I'm going to be thoroughly enjoyed by it? Yes. Do I think she has a chance in hell? Absolutely not. But, you know, it's going to be one of those things. It's going to be fun to watch. Only until Miss Jamie Hayter finally comes back and saves us from Timeless Toni Storm. Even though I love Timeless Toni Storm, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, she is the one. She is the chosen one. She is Moonchild. She is it. I've given her a name. Yeah, name that movie. Name that movie.
It's all tip of my tongue.
Here you go. Here you go. Atreyu. Artax.
Wait, that's never in the story?
Yeah.
That's right.
He had to give her a name in order to save it.
Okay.
And he named her Moonchild.
It's been a long while.
You couldn't understand a word he said. The only way you could find out was through friends later because somebody actually had like subtitles on.
It's like 80s.
Only way I knew.
I was thinking 80s, I saw Falcor, but I couldn't remember the name of the movie. I was like, it's been so long since I've seen that. I'm actually seeing that on a Discord, like movie night here next month. You know, we're doing Never Ending Story.
Makes me think of Stranger Things too, man. I think love that.
I know, right?
Yeah. Can't wait for the next season.
Funny story. I used to have a Shih Tzu. Okay. Whenever he got trimmed, he looked just like Falcor. My sister called him Falcor, as a matter of fact. It wasn't his name. It was Cage. But she called him because they already get trimmed. His face looked like Falcor. It's amazing.
That's one of the worst animatronic jobs of all time. But
it is. But the movie's fantastic. At least from what I remember. It's been decades since I've seen it. So you can keep going. Now they bunch together all the women's stuff. Whatever. Right. But then you have Willow Jay doing the celebration. Right. I love the back and forth between Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway. That has to be one of my favorite things every week. And God bless Stokely Hathaway. Let me just put it that way.
I mean, Stokely Hathaway is
he's a treasure.
Like, okay, can we just say, without a shadow of a doubt, the best managers are in AEW? They let them go, when they let them run, they got the best manager. Stokely, Don Callis. Yes, please.
The only one that's not is, and he's not going to be, because he just entered into the Hall of Fame, you know, it's Paul Heyman, right? And that's just Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's in his own bubble as well, right?
Yeah, Paul Heyman is his own thing. And by the way, His Hall of Fame speech might have been the best speech of all time.
Oh.
Hall of Fame speech of all time.
Suck my fucking dick.
Yeah. Like, dude. Like, he don't care. And the thing is, everybody loved him for it.
Nana's a good one, too. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah,
good.
So, Willow, of course, is celebrating. She, you know, and of course, Stokely says he didn't like her at first. And she says she didn't like him. And it's just like, this dynamite. And then here comes the CEO, 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 whatever. She interrupts it and just decides to slap the shit out of her.
And says, I mean, again, I'm happy they're definitely making her heel. They're doing that kind of, you know,
they'll sleep on Prince
good, for sure. But it's that's the problem. It's just such a slow drag to it. I mean, and I understand you don't want to rush her back if she's not 100% ready to be back in the ring. Cool, right? You also invested a lot of money. You're definitely not going to not have her on your TV, okay? I get that. But yeah. at least, like I said, they're giving her this like little edge and making her closer to the heel that we want.
She needs to be there. That's all there is to it. Like, heel Mercedes is the best Mercedes.
It's so good.
You know why people buy AMG Mercedes? You know why? Because they break down all the goddamn time. And they look flashy. And they look great. But everybody gets pissed off at them because they break down all the damn time. But you know what? But when they run amazing. But you're pissed off because they're running good. It's not true. But, I mean, they do break a lot. AMGs.
Well, they are hand-built. So, I mean, it's...
They are hand-built. And they hand-break.
They're not meant to be driven every day.
They're not supposed to be driven, period, I don't think.
They're supposed to be driven, like, on occasion, right? Because it's like, that's that special car. People are like, no, it's my daily driver. It's AMG 55. I'm like, that's a mistake. Should have got a regular Mercedes. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Whatever.
No, thank you. No, thank you. All right. So,
the magic that we... Think? Oh, yeah. Go ahead. There was a quick little thing with Jack Perry, but did you expect the Casino Gauntlet match to be what we got on our screens tonight?
Well, no, not at all.
I didn't even know what it was. Even when it started, I still had no idea. They kept explaining it, and I go, wait, the premise is amazing.
So it's like, it's a battle royal that's not over the top rope. It's a pin.
Sort of.
Kind of. Yeah, like, that's the thing.
Because a gauntlet match is you start with two guys, boom, one wins, another person comes out, boom, next person comes out, boom, next person comes out. This had a indiscriminate number of potential people who are going to be there coming in at some interval, which we don't know what that is. And at any point in time, if there's a pinfall or submission, the match is over. That person who did the pinfall or submission gets an international title shot at Double or Nothing. You say, wow, that doesn't sound great. It was genius, though.
Yeah, it's basically the Royal Rumble with pins.
Yeah.
I mean, no over the top, it's just pins. So, yeah, like, I mean, this thing had Jay White, Jay Lethal, Commander, Lance Archer, Kyle O'Reilly, Dante Martin, Penta. You had, of course, Will Ospreay. I mean, you had it all. And how about that DDT by Commander? I know that had to trip your trigger. The moment I saw it, I'm like, oh, JJ's happy.
I like Commander. I again, Yes, he is a little bit slow and deliberate on some stuff here, but it works perfect for matches like this. Comes in, immediately just jumps on the ropes and does a stupid-ass move. There's that redonkulous double spinning DDT, and then he goes to Hurricanrana, Lance Archer, into the tables, gets caught. He begins to power slam him, and he reverses it back into a Hurricanrana of Lance Archer through a double table. This is where it's fun. This is where Commander fits, because you want a fun, splashy, you know, couple highlights in a big overbooked match. Yeah, throw him out there. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, since Will Ospreay's in this, I think we all knew how this was going to end. As soon as you saw Will Ospreay, Megan was like, "Oh, maybe they'll have Kyle O'Reilly do it." But Kyle O'Reilly just lost. There's no way. And then they had Will Ospreay win. So my question is to you, sir, are they going to take the belt off of Roddy?
Yes.
Is he, because he's already that boring already? Because, I mean, I love Roddy, but he's boring.
I want to say it's because he's boring. I think that the payoff for the Undisputed Kingdom hadn't been there. Mostly because Adam Cole was a lot more injured than we all thought he was, right? And they had to do it when they had to do it, because that's when the story demanded it, because MJF, the whole contract thing, shoulder surgery, all this stuff, right? You had to do it when you had to do it. And unfortunately, without Adam Cole there, you're a rudderless ship of sorts. Now, he's back, and you could rework them into a completely different angle. You don't need the belt there on Roddy to do that. In a way, it's better if he doesn't have it. And do you want... I mean, I feel like Ospreay is so hot, you got to put a belt on him, right? Even if you're building him up for the world title here in a few months, he could have a belt on him already when he goes into that match. He can have belts before that. So you absolutely give him a belt. He needs a belt. It's not even about Roddy, in my opinion. It's about Ospreay. Give him the belt.
I mean, who's your biggest draw? Roddy or the man who's had two of the match of the year candidates?
Exactly.
Think I know where I'm voting. All right. It's like, I wouldn't say he's boring. Maybe Anonymous. Well, here's the thing. Like, Roddy's always been a great wrestler. And hot take time. I don't know if it's a hot take. Amazing wrestler, mid personality. The best thing they ever did for him was the whole yelling of Adam. And then he hasn't really talked a whole lot lately, so he hasn't been doing the yelling that much. And it's just been okay. Like, he's okay right now. Like, I'm not saying like he's just like super boring. Like, his wrestling's boring. I'm just saying him as a person is boring. Like Ben Stein boring.
It's like, it's like BJ Grant, or you know, or BJ, I mean, not Horace Grant, BJ Anderson.
You think of BJ Armstrong? You're trying to combine two.
Yeah. Two, I'm trying to combine two early '90s Bulls into one. But either one of them, right? NBA, fantastic player in their own rights, right? They're not the ones who are on the box of Wheaties and that were the reason that they won three straight championships together, right? And Roderick Strong is that. He is the Horace Grant of this team. And he was that way in the Undisputed era as well, right? Which is fine. And when they did their skits together, he got some funny bits in. It's cool, right? And he goes in the ring, and he puts on magic. And he's going to do that no matter what, because he's a unbelievably good for professional wrestler. It's all about Adam Cole, though, no matter what. It's all about Adam Cole. And
who's walking now?
He's walking gingerly. Now. I mean, he's still not.
He's going to walk down the stairs really careful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, from what I heard, SRS said that. Because they were off TV completely for about like 3 or 4 weeks before, you know, the pay-per-view, right? Because Adam Cole was sent back home basically to stay there because his traveling like re-aggravated his like rehab on his foot. So, but that's the whole point, you know? And again, I just, yeah, I don't even think, I have no second thought. The second that he come out there, I go, he's winning the belt double or nothing. Of course he is, because he needs to. Rye doesn't need that belt anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. I agree. I think it's Will Ospreay's to win.
All right. Jamie's been dreading this moment all night. Let's get into it. Let's go.
So let me ask you something. You go to the doctor. Okay. And you're like, you know, I'm not feeling well. I got, you know, like I'm coughing up stuff. It's not COVID. Like I don't know what it is. And you find out, hey, you got bronchitis. And then you're just like, man, I don't know if it can get much worse than that. And the doctor goes, oh, and by the way, you have pleurisy too. And it's just like, it just gets worse, you know? And then after that, it's like, oh, well, you know, that developed into, you know, meningitis now. You have this. Like, it just keeps getting worse and worse. You go to the doctor, you get all this bad news. That's Chris Jericho. When, one, I didn't think it could get worse with Chris Jericho. I find out that I have pleurisy. He comes out with arguably the worst music I think I've ever heard. Even the audio is a little messed up tonight.
Audio was sketchy all night. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, but then he starts talking. So then now I find out I got meningitis, and then here comes Big Bill. And Big Bill, you know, comes out and says he wants to be taught by the learning tree. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, I'm going to have him more on my TV. Everybody and their mother is like, I got one thing to say to you. It's like, thank you. Just make him shut up. We will cheer you forever, Big Bill. We will cheer you till the day you die. Like, just make this all stop. And then he's like, no, you're going to die now. You know, like, that's how I feel. Like, I'm dying in the doctor's office today. You know, like, this is just like, make it stop. I need somebody to make it stop. Like, this is a plea to Tony Khan. I know you're dead right now, but make it stop.
Mr. Khan. That's the Saeed. Okay. I agree with you to a point, and then I'm going to diverge.
Okay.
This whole thing with Jericho, we've been bitching and moaning about it for a while. The match at Revolution, like I said, it wasn't the worst match we've ever seen. It was actually a decent match. It was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. Right? The whole using the bat thing at the end was dumb. Jericho's music, not the greatest. But this is where I'm going to take a sharp turn from you. Okay? Believe it or not, I feel like it may not be the best tasting, but we're getting lemonades out of these lemons. Here's why. Jericho comes out, obviously getting booed, and doing the thank you, I love you too, you know? So he's got the whole, and this is the old gimmick, right? The I don't hear what you're saying, I'm so full of myself shtick going on, right? And that's kind of the path they're taking with him. All right. I don't think that this needs to be in front of us every week on the TV, but if they're going to do that, I am much better with them doing it in this manner. Because let's be honest, as long as Jericho's around AEW, he's going to be somehow featured every week on the TV, one way or another. We said become the authority figure, become all that. Well, in a way, that's what he's doing. He's becoming the authority figure for the Island of Misfit Toys that nobody asked him to be, though. And in a way, that's kind of great. Because you'll have people who haven't been featured on TV. Big Bill, right? He comes out there and grovels to be in there, right? Well, at least he'll be featured on TV now. You get to see him on stuff. And yes, you're going to have a totally tone-deaf Jericho kind of running around in the back saying, I did this. This was all me. I created everything. It's low-key genius at the end of the day, albeit not the best, but as opposed to him groveling for Hook's approval, I'll take tone-deaf, I'm the greatest teacher there ever was, when you don't teach anything, any day of the week. So there's my counterpoint.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a new poll up. Is JJ crazy? Because this take is something else.
What are these votes? Chat. Come on, chat. Seriously?
I mean, I'm just saying. Like, I've had some crazy takes on this show. I've had some crazy takes on this show. But by far, ladies and gentlemen, this is the craziest, because Jericho just needs to go away forever.
We know that. And you know that will not happen. As long as Jericho is employed there, he will be have himself on TV one way or another. He has too much power behind the scenes. So he's good to be in front of your TV.
Being optimistic, and then there's being DeLulu. And you were being DeLulu.
Well, you're sitting here saying you need to go off TV. He's not. He won't. That won't happen. It's not a possibility.
I'm just done. I'm done with him on my TV. Just make it stop.
I hear you. But
let's make it stop.
How? Who?
Can we have a Nancy Kerrigan moment or something?
That might be the only way you'd be it. Yeah, that's the only way you're gonna get him off your TV. If you send, you send Action Andretti to go pop his kneecap or something. Maybe that'll get him off. But
hey, maybe he can wrestle Sammy, and Sammy can get suspended again.
I'm saying, hey, all things being equal,
double win.
All things being equal, the kind of like out of touch lunatic, I think I'm the wrestling's best teacher gimmick. It's better than whatever bullshit they've been trying to put in front of us in the last 2 months.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we need you to stop trying to take younger talent spotlights, please.
But you and I both know that won't happen. So what do you do? Thanks for the vote of confidence, chat. I'm glad you guys join us every week. I really am. I better see at least that many thumbs up when I'm done with this video. Let's be real.
I mean, yes, and more subs. That'd be great. All right, so let's just keep on a rocking.
All right, so we're talking about those threads come back around here now.
Yes, so Will Ospreay's backstage, him, Callis, and Kyle Fletcher, his best friend in real life. Callis gives Ospreay grief about not using the Tiger Driver 91 tonight. And I thought that was very well played by them, because that's the move that injured Bryan Danielson. And he's just like, I just can't do it. And then here comes Kyle, and Kyle's just like,
he won the match,
Yeah, he's like, he won the match, though. And then, of course, Kyle's is like, shut up. You shouldn't say anything about winning a match. I was like, So those two are gone. I'm calling it now, by Double or Nothing, or at Double or Nothing.
Adirac.
Both of them have left.
Yeah.
The Don Callis family. Yeah, which could be the reason. That could be why Ospreay might lose that match, because he turned his back on the Callis family. So
he's going to lose it on Nefarious Ways, for sure.
Nefarious. I like that. Not nefarious.
No, nefarious.
I like it's tomato, tomato.
No. I'm from the Ozarks. We say things a little different, like.
Nefarious. All right. So then you had Jon Moxley versus Powerhouse Hobbs for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship.
Mm-hmm.
First time it's been defended on Dynamite. And this match was exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yep.
Big meaty men slapping meat.
Moxley could do every match. So he's in there with the big meaty person. So he turned himself into a big meaty man. And It was fun. It was good. It's what you thought. It's what you pay money to go see. That's the thing I love about Jon Moxley. If you go to an event with him, whether it be AEW, Wrestling Revolver, IWGP, or New Japan, whatever, right? Prestige. You're going to get your money's worth because he makes sure that you get a match that you want to see in person. And he did that. And it was fine. It wasn't terribly long. No. It didn't need to be. Nobody thought Hobbs was winning.
No. So, obviously, Hobbs lost. Mm-hmm. Moxley retains. But the big thing that happened was definitely after the main event, you had Tony Khan and Jack Perry meeting in the ring. Jack Perry coming down to the ring with no entrance music. Was very telling.
And because the crowd
suspended.
He is. Storyline wise, he's no longer with AEW. He tore up his contract.
Yes.
Storyline. But then, of course, you have the whole crowd chanting, "Oh, cry me a river," which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah. So good. So he's out there and he's talking to Tony. He's like, you know, just shake my hand. You know, reinstate me and we can move on. We could go back to, you know, trying to, you know, disrupt and, you know.
Only thing I ever wanted is what's best for AEW. It was the exact quote. I'd write it down.
Yes. Perry says he has. They always haven't seen eye to eye, but he's only ever wanted what's best for AEW. Asked him to reinstate him, and Tony Khan shakes his hand. You know, they start hugging, and then magically, you see that smirk. You see the JBJP smirk, and boom, hits him right in the stomach. Drops like a ton of bricks. Then here comes the rest of the Elite staring him down like, what are you doing? And then they start picking up Tony Khan. It looks like they're getting ready to set for an EVP trigger. Oh, no. They change it. They end up hitting Tony with a Meltzer driver.
Okada comes in. You think the voice of reason, right? No. And he just gives two thumbs up. And so they melt. Oh, Kata, that was cold.
Yeah. And then after that happens, Shad Khan and members of the roster come out to check on their son, which I thought, hey, Shad Khan moment. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. That's the second time he's been on AEW programming.
Yeah, but, you know, Tony's sister still hasn't been on, which is kind of surprising.
Oh, well.
Shaka. Yeah, Shaka.
Maybe she Shaka doesn't want
to be. Shaka Khan. Oh, come on.
You can't not do that. I hear you.
Shaka Khan.
So you had all the refs out there, you had people that, and then they're you know, the Elite with Jack Perry, who apparently, is he in the Elite? It sure looks like it. He's aligned with him, if nothing else. On.
Well, I mean, they already said scapegoat, love your work. Like, that was already the telltale sign he's going to be part of the Elite. And those guys are the heels right now. You know, Matthew Jackson, Nicholas Jackson, the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, and Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Or Scapegoat Jack Perry.
So, Jamie, we talk a lot about tropes, okay?
Yeah. You love,
because you're the cinephile here, right? So we're talking about tropes. You're like, he gets tingly in his bits. And I don't know where I was going with that. Sorry. We do talk a lot about tropes, you know, and, you know, reviving gimmicks long past. Okay. So here's a trope that is a longstanding one. Okay. You beef with authority of the promotion or two rival authority figures of the promotion. Because it feels like you got Tony Khan's AEW and you have the Jacksons' AEW is what they're setting up here for a feud. Do you like that? I mean, that harkens back to that harkens hardcore back to, you know, Stone Cold versus McMahon. you know, it was done in TNA. It's been done all over the place, right? But NWO versus WCW. Do you feel like that's the path they're going with this, or is this just going to be the one-off? The elites are just running rampant, rough shot over everybody, and that includes the owner of the company.
So I'm going to take what you said and I'm going to spin it just a hair, because okay. I think you're all over it. I think the trope of going against the man is one of those great tropes. Bad guy or good guy, always going against the man mm-hmm. is a great trope.
Absolutely. But, it's relatable.
But here's the rub. What if you are also the man Ooh. Going against the other man, and you're the bad man going against the good man, and then like you get the double whammy, you get all of it. So then you get good guys versus bad guys, and this could be a long running slow burn type thing. So it could be very NWO-esque, like you said. I think you're all over it on this one, man. Way better than your Jericho take. But
you still have the pull up here, so whatever.
Yeah. I mean, and then MJF coming back and getting involved. I mean, if he's ahead of schedule, hell, you got things that write themselves in this. People who have been wronged by the elite. Well, you could get easily, you know, the cleaner himself, Kenny Omega. You could get the Dark Order involved because they got buried by them. You got FTR. You have Hanger when he comes back. I know he's dealing with some personal stuff, which I'm very glad that the dirt sheets have not been saying what it is. You know, you got that. You got MJF, of course. You got quite a few different people, and you can make a faction, like not necessarily a faction, but like you could honestly have AEW versus the Elite, which, you know, is an old trope in itself.
I mean, I love that. I love the fact that if you include Jack Perry into the Elite, and he's not just associated with, but include him into this kind of, you know, blanket him in, right? It feels very clean. It is the old NWO angle, right? The Elite. We are the Elite. Hangman was suspended and Kenny was fired from the Elite. Not All Elite Wrestling, the Elite. So,
yeah.
Honestly, they've already laid the groundwork for months here, right? It's just now coming into fruition, I believe. And that's where you need to do this. Yes, the jokes that I saw, many of you commented in chat about, oh, Tony fears for his life now. Yes, okay. Touche. Good joke. All right.
Yes.
To be fair, none of us grew up as billionaires. Billionaires live a different life. I think this is Denise Salcedo. She had she has her little podcast. She has one of her podcasts. I can't remember the guy that's with her. Reggie. But Reg was saying, like, hey, you know, he this is not a guy that walks down the street, right? You're not gonna walk down the street and mug it because he's got security guards. He's a billionaire, right? So I hear the jokes, but it is that kind of final salvo that cements it.
Agreed.
Maybe this is the turn on Macho Man moment, right? I don't think that's never not worked, right? NWO is NWO. Even when they brought back the NWO the second and third time, it was still the NWO. It was still cool, right? They did in TNA, Aces and Eights, right? It got a little, just like the NWO got, but it was cool when they did it. Bull Club is a Bull Club. It always works. So why not?
Yeah. No, I think.
Exactly, Heather. Exactly.
I really think if they keep going with this, it could be something very special. And it could turn into a moment, you know, and AEW... That's the one thing I'm gonna go very circular back to the very beginning. And AEW has had amazing matches, but they have very few moments. You know, honestly, yeah. CM Punk coming back was a moment. when Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson come out. That's a moment. Like, they haven't had a whole lot of moments. This could turn into a moment. The time that AEW drew a line in the sand and became what we all hope it to be. This could be the beginning of that. And we all get to be along for the ride, listening, watching, and then being on here at 9:45 Central every Wednesday night. So we get to talk about this.
I think I agree with you completely. I think it's going to be great. And here's the last thing I want to kind of leave at with you before we adjourn into the sunset here. I feel like AEW has done quite a good job post showing the CM Punk video of getting back to what AEW should be, right? Yeah. The wrestling has spoken for itself. Tonight, we only had four matches. One of them was a bonkers match, which we didn't know the rules going into, but we loved. Okay. You had a pretty good, including Anna Jay, pretty good female match, right? You know, Swerve Strickland, Kyle Fletcher match. That was great. Moxley matches never disappoints. Okay. The pay-per-view was stellar all the way through. Last week's Dynamite, we had high praise for. It feels like they've gotten back to what AEW should be. And as long as I think that's the most important thing, not for them to worry about anything that's happening on the other side of the pond. Because who gives a shit? Let's be real, right?
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Oh, that being said, do you want to talk about the other side of the pond real fast?
If we want to talk,
some new champions abound. So,
yeah. Becky last Lynch night, won. That was stupid.
Do what?
Becky Lynch.
Yeah. So I was gonna go stupid. Backwards order.
Should want to live. Liv deserved it. Revenge tour. So they give it to Becky.
I mean, she whatever. Took out the champion, and you could weave that into a story. And you can make her a top heel in the company because people are starting to turn on her for taking out, because everybody loves, you know, Rhea.
The Acclaimed.
Maybe. But no, everybody loves Rhea, and they started to turn on her already a little bit. Give her the belt then. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Give it to Becky, one who just lost to Rhea at WrestleMania. Clean.
You capping. All right. So the other big one, though, the one that I was most excited for, and I would call this WWE's match of the year, Trick Williams versus Ilya Dragunov. That match was effing epic. Effing epic.
I think it's great to see. I still feel like Trick is not a complete package as a wrestler. Okay. That being said, though, I think he's come leaps and bounds from being just a regular, just another nameless hype man to now a champion. And that just speaks to kind of some of the work they are doing. And whether you.
Well, Shawn Michaels says he is now the face of NXT. Absolutely.
And I watched their match at TakeOver. Him and Carmelo tore the house down.
Oh.
And Trick has got people eating out of his hands, much like
that Trick.
I mean, he was like, who doesn't want to chant that? First of all, that's great. But he's got charisma. The man's got he's got a good look. He's athletic as hell. Yes, his wrestling chops. I'll be a little critical on here and there, but and Ilya is, of course, bound for the main roster. So you gotta get the belt off him anyway, but. What a better way to do it. And that was as critical as we had been about NXT over the past couple years, right? I feel like even if you don't like the product as a, you know, it is still kind of packaged a little bit, not necessarily for wrestling fans. And that's a little bit of what the WWE's overall product is, not necessarily. It's an entertainment company. It's not a wrestling company. They've been more into wrestling since Triple H's taken over, but still, its heart is meant to be entertainment. So, I was happy with it. Agreed. Were you happy with the new SmackDown, or excuse me, WWE Tag Team Championships belts?
Oh, so, oh, God. Gorgeous.
1995 all over again, huh?
Yep. They have a stranglehold on me. Now all we need is the damn winged eagle, and I am happy.
I mean, yep. Let's look at their titles they've done. Okay, so you've got the World Championships for both men and women. Fantastic design. Yes, the U.S. design is polarizing to some. I actually like the U.S. title belt, personally. Okay?
It's all right.
IC belt needs an upgrade. They both could probably use an upgrade, right? But the new tag team belts, both of them, are distinctly different in a fantastic way. So, I'm with you. Give us the winged eagle for Cody. Call it a day.
Please. 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 I'm tired.
Gift of the Gods belt. I don't remember what that one was.
Which one? Controversial hot take. The Gift of the Gods belt. Was that the one with the...
Well, I know the internet's right in front of me. I could look it up.
Oh, are you talking about the Lucha Underground?
Lucha Underground. Okay. Lucha's belt. Okay. Yeah, Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
We're talking just fire. WWE belts. Okay. There's better belts out
Fed
there.
Fed belts. Lucha's only. Had.
Oh, okay. Well, we could actually get off on a whole tangent here on the belt, so we will not do that. We will thank you guys for joining us. We do appreciate it. Quick little heads up programming note. If you are not already planning on making it, or you don't live in the Kansas City area and can't make it up to it on the 10th of May, please join us here approximately, I think, 5 o'clock Central. I haven't got the specific time from Chase yet, but we are going to be doing the pre-show again for Fountain City Pro. So come join us here. If you're not already following, hit a follow down below. Hit the bell icon. You get a little notification when we go live. We'll be live on their socials as well. So if you follow Fountain City on Twitter or Facebook, we'll be live on there for the pre-show. We'll be live here as well. I have a sneaking suspicion the Faulkner household might actually get possession of a certain strap on that day. Potentially. Hopefully. We shall see. I don't know.
Megan's acceptance speech is going to be glorious. You already know this, right? I hope she cuts some killer promo on you about how you fucked your horses with each other.
You told me she was insufferable the second that match was over, so I can only imagine.
Oh, my God. She wouldn't shut up for 30 minutes. What? You guys, I can't believe you guys didn't pick the House of Black. I can't believe you guys are so dumb.
Jamie texts me that, and I'm go, hey. It's like, I would be like, here's your mirror, you know? It's like, hey,
yeah, it's like, I wonder where she gets it from. Like, she straight cut this huge promo on me. I'm like, I deserve it.
But congrats to
me. Stay in my house. That's all that matters.
But, as again, join us again. We'll be live for the pre-show, give or take. If you hit the bell icon, you'll know when we go live, but probably around 5-ish Central Standard Time. You'll be able to see the replay as well. Their show itself, if you don't live local and you're not going to go to the show, is not going to be live broadcast. It'll be taped and released later on. We definitely do recommend, though, if you haven't already, give our friends at Fountain City Pro a follow. I got their information down in the box below. New wrestling promotion, great guys running it. They put on a fantastic show. First one was amazing, even though they had some first show issues. Sold out, packed house, great reception, fantastic show, great card. They got more good stuff coming, so join us for that, okay? And for everybody else, thank you for watching, thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys giving us some of your time each and every week. We'll be back here next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Jamie, take us home.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not down to Total Spot Fest, I got 4 words for you.
There, okay, got
fuck it. The learning tree.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
Peace.